Tim, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, joined on the phone right now by TV Guide Digital Editor-in-Chief Mickey O'Connor to talk about what's going on the TV. Hi, Mickey. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Mickey, just yesterday, Wendy found a story about the upcoming season of American Horror Story, and we were going to talk about it on the air, but we thought that it was fake, but it's not fake, is it?
It's absolutely not fake. Ryan Murphy appeared on Watch What Happens Live on Wednesday night, and Andy Cohen kind of surprised him and asked him what the next season of American Horror Story was going to be about, and surprisingly for Ryan Murphy, he answered, and he said that it was going to be about the 2016 election, presidential election, if you can believe it.
I can't wait to see it. I've lived through it.
Yeah, I mean, further than that, he actually asked him if there was going to be a, quote, Trump character on the show, and Ryan Murphy kind of gave a little smile and said, maybe. So it could be really interesting. If you look at all the amazing actors who love working with Ryan Murphy now, you know, you never know who he's going to get. There's John Travolta, there's Jessica Lange, there's Cuba Gooding Jr., Angela Bassett. All those people could be in the mix.
I wonder if Sarah Paulson will play Hillary Rodham Clinton.
That's true. Or Jessica Lange could play that role, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Either of them. Now, for people who haven't seen the show, what normally happens on American Horror Story is he always focuses on one of the scarier aspects of life. Sometimes it's an insane asylum. Sometimes it's a circus. But the election is an interesting way to go, isn't it?
It's all of the above.
Right.
And the freak show.
I think when you think about it, like, you know, the first season of the show, for example, was kind of about marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, the second season of the show was about, you know, mental health. And, you know, I think that this last season was kind of about fame and about social media and about sort of Hollywood and about, you know, representation on, you know, in film. And so I think that moving on to the election is kind of an interesting segue from there.
All right, and we have no idea a premiere date on that because they haven't filmed any of them yet. It's just it's probably a year or so away, correct?
Yeah, I mean, usually it launches at the end of the year, so, you know, October, November. You know, they're usually short seasons, so they usually wrap up in January. That's the time of year that it usually runs.
All right, very good.
Have you been sucked into This Is Us? Like, I am living for that show on NBC Tuesdays at 8?
Yes, I am kind of sucked into it, although I have to say I'm not that sucked into it because I'm a few episodes behind at this point. So, but yeah, I mean, certainly it's something that our audience is loving and we're talking about constantly. One of our writers just went to the set the other day and saw this week's episode, and she said that the press team literally handed out Kleenex to everybody before the screening.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
She used it.
She did use it. I cry. I laugh. I want to be a better wife and a better mother every week when I watch that. And I didn't realize until the last episode that Ken Olin is involved in it from 30-something. And I absolutely loved that show as well.
Hmm. Yeah. And he's actually a pretty well-known TV director. He's done quite a bit with, like, Grey's Anatomy, West Wing. Yeah, he's around a lot.
Used to be on Hill Street Blues. That's the first time
was
I saw him.
Really?
Yeah, for a year or two.
Yeah, way back in the day, yeah.
Yep. There will be a sequel very soon to The Good Wife. What is the sequel going to be?
So it's called The Good Fight, and it focuses on two characters from the original show. One is Diane Lockhart, who was played by the great Christine Baranski.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Luca Quinn, who was played by Cush Jumbo in the final season of the show. And, you know, without giving too much away, I will say that, you know, it's about Diane's next step in her life. And she leaves a firm that she founded. And she thinks she's going to retire. But something comes along and she's unable to retire because she does not have any money anymore. So she has to go back to work. And so it's kind of about her going back to work. For one of the most prominent African American firms in Chicago, it's really interesting. I've seen the first two episodes. It maintains all the sort of the combination of melodrama and sort of light humor that the original show had. And the actors are really great. They've assembled a really interesting cast, including some familiar faces who will pop in here and there, and from the original show. And yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. It premieres on Sunday on CBS at 8/7 Central, and after that, it will only be on CBS All Access, which is CBS's new online streaming service. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Can I ask, Mickey, do the production values of a show suffer a little bit when it's only on All Access? I know they're going to do this with the new Star Trek show, too. It'll only be on All Access. Do they spend a little less on those, or is that not the case?
No, I would say I don't know. I think that creatively speaking, I think that the quality is probably pretty much the same. And I think that creatively speaking, I think there's just a lot more freedom for a show when it's, not on broadcast television. And I think that you'll see that with this show. There's a few naughty words in The Good Fight, which, of course, they could never do on The Good Wife.
Yeah.
There's actually some nude scenes.
Wendy just set her DVR as we were talking.
I have never watched The Good Wife, I got to tell you. I have never watched it. Is it you love it?
It's a fun sort of legal procedural, but I think that, it was much more serialized than most legal procedurals. You became very invested in Alicia Florrick's story. That's Juliana Margulies' character. Because the premise of the show is really about this woman scorned and how she would, sort of get her revenge. And, this show is a little bit like that as well, because Diane is sort of, a woman scorned in this first episode, and how is she going to, get her revenge?
I always worry for the original series, Mickey, when they take a major character away. I'm going through the same thing a little bit with Blacklist. I know there's a sequel with Tom's character, Lizzie's husband, Tom. I always worry if that doesn't hurt the original a little bit.
Well, I think that, I think that usually it depends. I think some spinoffs are really successful. And I think that, it depends on who you're removing from the cast. I agree with you that sometimes you're like, oh, I wish that person would just stay on, that show.
Yeah.
Kate Walsh is a good example. When she left Grey's Anatomy and she went to Private Practice, I thought Private Practice was an okay show, but I really loved her on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break. We're talking television with Mickey O'Connor, TV Guide's digital editor-in-chief. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're talking television.
Yeah, we are. Mickey O'Connor has joined us. Mickey is the TV Guide digital editor-in-chief, and there's a lot you should know that's going on in the world of TV, and he's here to share it with you. We have some calls at 312-981-7200.
Lori would like to jump into the television talk. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Mickey O'Connor's on the line.
Yeah, I was wondering. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I was wondering about the Chicago Fire, the big crossover event that's supposed to happen on March 1st.
What do you know about it, Mick?
Well, I will tell you that one of our editors just got back from Chicago, where she did a series of interviews about the four-way crossover. She met the new cast of Chicago Justice and did quite a few interviews with with all the casts, really, from Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire. I'm being really careful with my words because I don't want to spoil anything.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I think that, she was on set for a big sort of event that happened that necessitated that crossover. And I think that you're going to find it to be really interesting because of the people who are involved. Is that vague enough?
That was vague, but effective. So it's coming soon, Lori.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Well, thanks for your
call. Thank you so much.
Mickey, I know that every once in a while you will see that. You will have characters from one show visit characters from another show. Every once in a while it goes three deep, but I don't remember them ever doing four shows involved. Has that ever happened before?
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Dick Wolf is a little different than most TV producers. He's been extremely successful. He's had so many shows on the air over the years. We were actually just talking about this the other day. We were talking about how some shows share a universe, so they could sort of, you know, cross back and forth. It's like, you know, it's not just comic book shows that, you know, you have to talk about the universe anymore. You know, for example, the good Place on NBC with Kristen Bell. One of the things that they were talking about is the fact that there was evidence in an episode that The Good Place exists in the same universe as Parks and Rec, because Mike Schur is the creator on both of them. So it's pretty interesting, especially with the Chicago shows. I mean, like, they are all successful, and they're all successful with different people. It's not necessarily the same people who watch all four shows.
Right.
I think that spinoffs are a good way to sort of commemorate, you know, sweeps get a lot of attention on the show. Particularly with those shows, they're always dealing with sort of emergency events, mm-hmm. and those can very easily cross over. And if they're all based in Chicago, they all go to the same bar. It's pretty easy.
Oh, it would be.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. And, you know, I've watched various episodes of all of those, and I really enjoy it. But mm-hmm. now I feel like I'm so behind, I would have to binge so long to get caught up on all the different Chicago shows.
Well, I think the good thing about those Chicago shows is that they're really mostly based on sort of the case of the week, and so you're not really missing too much if you were to jump in right in the middle. I think that, you know, there's going to be some serialized elements to the show. There's going to be this person's dating that person, or this person is on suspension, or whatever. But, you know, I think you can catch up pretty quickly with those shows.
I'm going to do that.
It's not like watching Lost or something. Like, you can't, like, jump right in the middle of Lost.
Right.
Although I was lost while watching it.
And you saw every episode.
And I loved it. But, yeah. Can we, like, go from Lost to The Walking Dead? Because Bill and I are both Walking Dead fans. What do you have on that?
Well, so we have a weekly video series that's called Dead Inside. And it's basically our editors sort of taking their best guesses at what happens next. And some of them are big fans of the comic books, and so they understand, you know, how the stories were treated on the comic books. And others are just fans of the show. And, you know, they sort of venture their best guesses based on the interviews that they've done and the people they've talked to. And, you know, the big thing that they focused on this week were two things. The first thing was, why was Rick smiling in that scene where he was surrounded by a bunch of people in the junkyard pointing guns at him? And, you know, their conclusion was basically, there are
Should
a lot
we say
of
spoiler alert
junkyard.
If people haven't caught up yet? Just give you a little spoiler alert, just
away
so
for
you know.
A minute if you don't want to hear the theory, but I would love to hear the theory.
Me
what
too.
Is your theory there?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's too much of a spoiler to say this, but basically, you know, I mean, I think that their theory, which I think is a pretty strong one, is that, you know, they're up against these guys, the Saviors, Negan's team, you know, which is, you know, they're really strong, and they have numbers. And all of a sudden, they've introduced the idea of the kingdom and all the people that live there. And then now Rick has found all of these people who have another settlement. They have a lot of guns, a lot of people. And so I think that the wheels are spinning in his head, and he's thinking, like, how can these three entities sort of team up to fight Negan?
That's what I read it as.
Yeah, like the happiness in numbers. Like, all of a sudden, we've got some people on our side.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a little weird for him to smile like that at that moment, but I think that's what that was about.
The light bulb went off.
Yeah. The other thing that people were talking about is just the idea that they're hoping for a Daryl, Daryl to reunite with Carol soon.
Right.
Because those are always sort of fun scenes, and they haven't seen each other for a long time, obviously.
And people love when their names rhyme, don't they? Don't you think that's true, Mickey? I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I have a feeling, I know this is probably wrong, because Carol's a great character, but it's like you don't need her anymore. She's off on her own. I'm saying she's the next one to get taken out.
I hope you're
that's
wrong.
That's interesting. I think, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like she's gone through so much at this point that I don't, and I think the actress is so great and people really like her. So
she is
great. I
don't
know, but I do think that, you know, her going off on her own, I don't think that's permanent. So
no, I don't think so either. I keep seeing ads on HBO for their new miniseries, Big Little Lies. And all I know is it's got one of the most impressive casts I've ever seen assembled for a TV show. Have you seen any of this yet, Mickey?
Yeah, so I've actually seen quite a bit of it. I've seen like 7 or 8 episodes at this point. The thing I can tell you is that the book was sort of a bestseller. You know, it really caught on with sort of the chick lit crowd. Mm-hmm. It was about these unhappy housewives and
I think in Australia or New Zealand. I can't remember where it actually took place, where the original took place. They've moved it for the purpose of this miniseries. They've moved it to Monterey, California. It's extremely beautifully shot. There's a lot of scenes of the ocean and the cliffs over the ocean. And it stars these incredible actresses, Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and Shailene Woodley. And it's a murder mystery, believe it or not. And basically you find out right off the bat that someone has been murdered. You don't know who has been murdered. You don't know who did it. And that sort of slowly unfolds over the course of the episodes. I think there's 10 episodes total, and I've seen about 8 of them. And it's really great, a really great cast. You'll recognize a lot of the supporting players. Laura Dern is in it. Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood is in it. It's really great. And it's basically about the fact that there's these people who look like that they have perfect lives, do not. And it's a lot of fun. And Reese Witherspoon is outstanding. She plays like a real sort of annoying type A character that she does so well.
All right. It looks really good.
Doesn't it? Yeah. It really does. And that premieres on HBO this Sunday, I think, in Chicago. It's an 8 o'clock start. So Big Little Lies. Excellent.
That's right. And just so you know, it's Jean-Marc Vallée is the director of that, and he did Dallas Buyers Club, and he did Wild with Reese Witherspoon.
HBO continues their streak of they can pretty much get anyone to do anything they want. Everybody wants to work for HBO, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that generally speaking, you know, even just to broaden it further, I think that there's so many opportunities on television right now that I think that you're seeing a lot more people saying, like, yeah, I'll do a limited series. I'll do 8 episodes. I'll do 10 episodes. It's just like, you know, for them, it's just like shooting a very, you know, a longer movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pay is sort of increasing. It's not as comparable to movie pay just yet, but it's getting there. And, I think that everyone wants to do TV these days.
Who can blame them? Mickey, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks for having me.
It's
thanks,
Mickey O'Connor, TV Guide's digital editor-in-chief. It's the TV Guide.